Prabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nishananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Shiva Bhakti Vrindavi Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopala Shama Pada Radha Kali Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Ki Jai. Navadabdhan Ki Jai. Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhaktivi Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindavi Jai. Samavetta Bhakti Vrindavi Jai. Gopra Vrindavi. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 6, chapter 5, verse 24. Sabuya panchajanyayam.
Sabuya panchajanyayam.
Ajena parishan anditaha.
Ajena parishan anditaha.
Putran ajanaya dakshaha.
Putran ajanaya dakshaha.
Savala svansahasranam.
Savala svansahasranam.
Prajapati Dasha, Buya, again, Panchajanyaya, in the womb of his wife, Ajena, by Lord Brahma, Hari Shamitaha, being pacified. Putran, Sanjanayat, Digat, Daksha, Prajapati Daksha, Savalasan, named the Savalasas. Sahasranaha, numbering 1,000. Translation: when Prajapati Daksha was lamenting for his lost children, Lord Brahma pacified him with instructions, and therefore Daksha begot 1,000 more children in the womb of his wife, Panchajani. This time his sons were known as Savalasvas. Wherefore, Prajapati Daksha was so named because he was very expert at begetting children. First, he got 10,000 children in the womb of his wife. And when the children were lost, when they returned home back to God, he begot another set of children known as Savalasvas. Prajapati Daksha is very expert in begetting children. Narada Muni is very expert in delivering all the conditioned souls back home back to Godhead. Therefore, the materialist actress does not agree with the spiritual expert, Narada Muni. But this does not mean that Narada Muni could give up his engagement of chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Text 25, in accordance with the father's order to beget children, the second group of sons also went to Narayana Saras, the same place where the brothers had previously attained perfection by following the instructions of Narada. Undertaking great vows of austerity, the Savalasas remained at that holy place. Wherefore, Prajapati Daksha sent a second group of sons to the same place where his previous sons had attained perfection. He didn't hesitate to send a second group of sons to the same place, although they too might become victims of Narada's instructions. According to the Vedic culture, one should be trained in spiritual understanding as a brahmachari before entering household life to beget children. This is the Vedic system. Thus, Prajapati Daksha sent a second group of sons for cultural improvement, despite the risk that because of the instructions of Narada, they might become as intelligent as their older brothers. As a dutiful father, he did not hesitate to allow his sons to receive cultural instructions concerning the perfection of life. He depended upon them to choose whether to return home back to God or to rot in this material world in various species of life. In all circumstances, the duty of the father is to give cultural education to his sons, who must later decide which way to go. Responsible fathers should not hinder their sons who are making a cultural advancement in association with the Krishna consciousness movement. This is not a father's duty. The duty of a father is to give his sons complete freedom to make his choice after becoming spiritually advanced by following the instructions of the spiritual master. Translation: when Prajapati Daksha was lamenting for his lost children, Lord Brahma pacified him with instructions, and therefore Daksha begot 1,000 more children in the womb of his wife, Panchajani. This time his sons were known as Savalaspas. In accordance with their father's order to beget children, the second group of sons also went to Narayanasaras, the same place where the brothers had previously attained perfection, by following the instructions of Narada. Undertaking great vows of austerity, the Savalasas remained at that holy place. Well, this is a very interesting incident, because in spite of the fact that Prajapati Daksha was completely frustrated when the Haryaspas disappeared due to Narada Muni's instructions, he begot more children, and he sent them off to the same place. And Prabhupada mentions here that there was some risk involved, that they also would get influenced by Narada and disappear. Nevertheless, somehow or other, he took that risk. So that was generous on his part, because normally a person who's had some bad experience will not do the same thing again. So first he sent his the Haryaspas to Narayanasaras, and they were influenced by Narada Muni and didn't return. So if one sends another set of sons, the same thing would happen. So therefore, better not send them. However, as Prabhupada has pointed out in the purport, it is the duty of the father to give a choice to the sons. So, of course, the first set of sons made the choice that we will not beget progeny, we will practice spiritual life. And this was rather disturbing for Prajapati Daksha, and therefore he begot thousands more children and sent them also to make a choice, hoping that they would come back out of duty to the father and duty to the world to propagate the population. So, at the same time, the risk was there. They would also disappear. But Prajapati Daksha took the risk, trusting in the consciousness of his children, I suppose, that they would not be too much influenced by Narada Muni's instructions. So in any case, Prabhupada has pointed out in the purport that the father should give a choice to the children, and they can choose if they want to follow material life or spiritual life. Now, everyone may not take a spiritual life, and the parents cannot force their children on that path. Nevertheless, they should not neglect to offer that choice to the child. So that is the duty of the parents. As was previously quoted, the duty of the parents is to deliver the child from birth and death. So they can do that directly if they are spiritually equipped, or they can empower or entrust the instruction to another person, in this case Narada Muni or something like that. And they've done their duty. Now the children may not be influenced. They may not listen to Narada Muni. They may go back to their house and carry on materialistic life also. But nevertheless, it is the duty of the parents to try to, in always possible, encourage their children on the path of spiritual life. So therefore, we see that Prajapati Daksha was at least proper in that respect. He sent the first group of children to Narayanasaras. That was also commendable on his part, understanding that they should get some spiritual advancement and sense of austerity, etc. However, he didn't expect them not to return, and they didn't. So, That, of course, was in line with the Vedic teaching that before taking Grihastha, one should become a brahmachari and study the Vedas and do austerities and learn how to control the senses. So that much Prajapati Daksha understood. And even when the first group of children did not return, he sent the second group off to get the same type of training. So he was following the proper system that far. He was not following the system insofar as that when his children, first group of children, chose not to return, he became very angry. He cursed Narada Muni. So that part was not proper. In other words, if his children do take the spiritual life fully, he should not in any way be discouraged by that. So, therefore, we cannot condemn Daksha completely. To some degree, he was following properly, but at the same time, he had to do his duties and propagate the population, whatever, the material world, and he was frustrated in that desire because the first set of children disappeared. So, in that sense, okay, he was justified. At the same time, one should be aware of higher goals. So we have many instructions in the scripture. For instance, in the marriage ceremony, it says, blessing is given to the bride to have 10 sons. Oh yes, so then everyone should propagate 10 children. And then you get overpopulation in the society. That would be the result maybe nowadays. Why are they giving such an instruction as that? But yes, that is one instruction to make population. But then there's another instruction again that you should deliver your children from birth and death. So you can't take one instruction and not follow the other one also. So you have children and make them responsible for developing spiritually as well. If you can do that, have children. If you can't, don't have so many children. So we cannot take partial instruction. We have to take all the instructions. So, therefore, the full instruction, of course, of Prajapati Daksha was he was to produce children. That's okay. But if one produces bad offspring, what is the good of that? If Prajapati produces all materialistic people, what is the benefit for the world or for the Supreme Lord or for Daksha, for that matter? If they all become demons, what is the point? So producing children in itself is not the ultimate goal. Produce children, yes, but produce proper offspring who have some spiritual understanding, and at least they can follow the rules of Dharma, etc. So therefore, one Daksha should not take the instruction too literally and understand that there are other instructions also, not just increase population, but increase in such a way that there is spiritual advancement also. So the first set of sons thought of their benefit, spiritual benefit first, and therefore they did not come back. Other children may understand the instructions of Narada, and at the same time, they might also think of duty to father and combine the two together and go back and live a life practicing proper dharma, practicing bhakti, and at the same time fulfilling their desire to the father. They may also do that. Some may do that. That's also commendable. But what is not commendable is getting sons who would refuse to go to Narayana Saras and perform austerities because they were too interested in enjoyment, and instead simply spent all their time trying to enjoy in the material world, and they become the leaders. That would be a very disastrous situation. So, produce proper population, but also that population should be spiritually inclined and cultivated, etc. So, therefore, Daksha had some understanding, but maybe not a complete understanding, because he cursed Narada Muni, because his first set of sons did not return. Rather, he should have rejoiced that his sons were delivered from birth and death. And therefore, he had fulfilled his duty as a proper father. That much he should have done, but he didn't do that. Instead, he cursed Narada Muni in anger, and then he produced more sons. So, therefore, Daksha's understanding of scripture and the order of the Supreme Lord was partial, not complete. In one sense, yes, he was understood something, but not completely, and therefore he was at fault. Well, he took the risk, but at least he did his duty of raising them properly and having them go through a brahmachari life. We can say maybe it's foolish on his part to send them to the same place, knowing that Narada Muni might come along and preach to them also. But of course, Narada Muni can go anywhere in the material world anyway, and wherever he sent them, they could go to that ashram and also preach to them. So I suppose he also understood that, so therefore he just accepted it as fate that somehow or other maybe his children would not be influenced by Narada. But he did his duty as a father at least and gave them brahmachari training. So that was commendable on his part. Well, what is the expectation of the parents? If it is only for material things, then they fail as parents, because material prosperity cannot give satisfaction ultimately. And that everybody understands. Wealthy people are not happy people, generally. So it is not that simply by becoming successful materially you've got great benefits. So they're not giving the best benefit to their children. So yes, they can do that, but they must also ensure some spiritual guidance and answer. They don't do that also, then they failed. So they have to do both. And of course, if they only get spiritual and master nothing material, that is better than having all material, nothing spiritual. So, what is the question? Oh, well, it's they didn't come back and do their other duties, which were not exactly spiritual. It was to make more children. So in terms of making devotees and making the spiritual, if they can do service anywhere, is good. But we may have some expectation they're going to serve in this place and they go somewhere else. What can we do? Because they do have their own individual choice or whatever like that. So we do have to preach with, let's say, minimum expectations other than the fact that they can spiritually advance. And different people advance under different conditions, so therefore they may not choose what you think they should choose. They may choose something else. In any case, if we preach enough and we convince enough people, at least some of those will do up to your expectations, others may not, so therefore at least some of them will follow. Well, it's a duty as far as possible, but obviously one cannot force the children one way or the other. Just as Hiranyakasipu was trying to educate Prahlad to be a materialist, and he wouldn't do that. And he said, I am the Holy One, serve Vishnu. So similarly, we can try to make someone spiritual, but if they're not inclined spiritual, what can we do? So then we've done our duty as far as encouraging them, but if they don't want to, then we accept that also, and whatever spiritual life they can accept, even as a materialist, is good for them. But at least we make the attempt.
Vamos, tá bom.